Excuse me, I'm a little froggy this morning. I'm going to mix it up a little bit. Recently, Corey had the opportunity to travel to Disney World with the band from Cane Creek, and as she was packing things to go, she pulled out the Dr. Seuss DVD, Horton Hears a Who, to take on the long bus ride. It reminded me that it was in Lent several years ago that the movie was released. And I don't know if the timing of the release was intentionally set with the Christian calendar or not, but I was in the theater then, excuse me, and it spoke to me about Easter, believing, and faith. So if you don't mind or don't remember and haven't seen the movie, let me share what struck me. Horton the elephant believes he has discovered the microscopic city of Whoville on a floating speck of dust. For the pachyderm's excellent hearing allowed him to hear what no one else could hear, somebody hollering, and I forget exactly, I didn't go back and re-watch the movie. And his task became saving the town from all the dangers of the jungle. But the purple kangaroo, the bully in the movie, was trying to convince everyone that the speck Horton was protecting was just that, a speck of dust, and absolutely nothing worth, thank you, protecting, nothing to get all excited about. The line in the movie that spoke to me about the Easter season was the purple kangaroos. If you can't see it and you can't hear it and you can't smell it, it doesn't exist. Pray with me, please. Risen Lord, come among us this day and open our ears to hear what is written in the scriptures, and bless my words and our meditations together to be acceptable in your sight. Amen. So during Lent, it's customary to give up something or to take on something new. Some of you may have given up sweets or chocolate or caffeine. Some of you may have added a special prayer time or an exercise routine or written to some of our homebound members. Last weekend, the children of all ages were enjoying chocolate bunnies and marshmallow chicks and even new spring clothes, though it was a little chilly. And on Easter Sunday, our choir shared that beautiful cantata, and the younger children sang their alleluias to God as well. Easter is a festive family and church time of celebration, a Sunday which fills the sanctuary. But what brings you all back today? Why are you here? Why are you here on this Sunday after Easter, which typically does not fill the sanctuary? This Sunday after Easter is often called Low Sunday. It's a time when pastors lay back, relax, take a little vacation, which is why I'm up here. The denial and confessions of the Lenten season are all behind us. We have embraced the good news of Easter and proclaim that Christ is risen. Risen indeed. And now what? It's not the end of the story. Why have you? Why have we all returned? Why are we here? What is the next step in this journey of believing? Do we come with doubt, as the disciple Thomas has been described? Or do we come with the faith of the other disciples? Or is it possible to come with both faith and doubt? Hear now the gospel message for this day and see if it sheds any light on these questions and on the kangaroo's words. If you can't see it and you can't hear it and you can't smell it, well then it doesn't exist. From the 20th chapter of John, verses 19 through 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the marks in his hands, the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in this house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The word of God for the people of God. The gospel account is often referred to as the story of doubting Thomas. So why did Thomas get the bad rap? Why does he come out as the one who didn't believe? Was he the only disciple who had doubts and was unbelieving? Let's go back to the lectionary scripture for Easter, the gospel lesson from John chapter 20, the verses right before today's scripture, where Mary ran to tell the disciples that she had seen the risen Lord. And that very night, we find the disciples locking themselves in a house. Did they lock themselves up because they believed her? Did they lock themselves up because they thought Jesus was alive and walking the streets of Jerusalem again? I don't think so. I think they would have run to find him, to meet him, to greet him and hug him and embrace their friend and leader if they truly had believed what Mary shared. I think they locked themselves up because they were afraid, scared, confused, and certainly, rightfully so, afraid of the Jews. Afraid for their own lives. Unsure of what to believe and what not to believe, and afraid of what would happen next. They were full of this confusion, and I imagine they were filled with doubt. Doubt of themselves, doubt of this man they thought was going to ride into Jerusalem and claim his kingship. Doubt of Mary. Ah, woman, she doesn't know what she saw. So Thomas becomes the fall guy. He was the only one to get the nickname Doubting, and it has stuck. For here I am reminding you all these many years later that that's often the way we call him. But is that fair? For Thomas, there may have been some frustration, some anger that he was not there when the rest of the disciples were and saw Jesus appear to them in that locked room. Perhaps this can be a reminder to us that it is important to be present when the body of Christ gathers. For Jesus promised that when two or three are gathered in my name, I will be there also. We all know someone like Thomas, don't we? Someone who always misses the action and then wants that blow-by-blow account of what they missed. And after you tell them the whole long story of everything, all the minute details, they still don't believe you. They want to see the replay with their own eyes, thinking what they've heard must have been embellished along the way or was part of a dream or something like that. But they can't see the replay. The DVD and the DVR are all broken, and no one can repair them. And finally, a week has passed, and Christ appears suddenly again. And before you know it, Christ offers his hands to show the holes and turns to show his side where he was pierced. and he demands Thomas to be believing, not faithless. Before anyone has registered that it is the resurrected Christ in the room, Thomas is the one proclaiming the divinity of this man, Jesus. He's heard declaring, "My Lord and my God." These are very significant and very profound words. They are the most powerful and complete confession of who Jesus was and is in John's gospel. However, we still remember him as doubting Thomas even today. His slow start is remembered more than his leap of faith, his leap ahead of everyone else to that full profession of truth. I often call myself a doubting Thomas. I still find myself saying with Thomas, "Unless I see, I will not believe." My faith journey has been full of doubt, and it has not been all clear professions of faith. This is who I am, and in other areas of my life, I also want the complete picture painted and laid out right in front of me. Jeff, on the other hand, as the accountant in the family, is the one the girls go to for help with their math homework. He hears the question and begins the calculations in his head and is helping them on their way, and I'm saying, "Stop. Write it down. Put it in black and white. Put it before me so I can see it," before I even know where to begin or how to offer help. I'm from Missouri, show me. Or as the kangaroo in Horton says, "If you can't see it, it doesn't exist." Yet spending time with this week's gospel lesson has reminded me that this is not a story of skepticism, but a story of faith. Thomas sees God fully revealed in Jesus, and this revelation does not necessarily come in the touching of Jesus' wounds, for we are not told whether or not Thomas actually touches Jesus. This revelation comes in Jesus offering himself to Thomas, in Jesus giving himself and giving Thomas what he needs for faith. Can we not believe he will do the same for us as he has done for those in the scriptures? Jesus' words to Thomas are, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Those words of Jesus, those are for all of us this day. Jesus is talking about us. Jesus is talking to you and to me. He's saying, "Blessed are we." Wake up, folks. Sure, it would have been amazing to have walked the hills of the Holy Land with Jesus, to have fished by his side. Curtis was able to go fishing this week. You know, that peaceful place on the river. Can you just imagine being with Jesus? But let's face it, we were all born too late. We missed that boat a long time ago. And yet, hear it again. Jesus calls us blessed. These words do not lessen the experience of the first disciples. No, let these words assure us that sight is not a prerequisite to faith. Knowledge of and relationship with Jesus is not just for those who walked with him in Galilee and Jerusalem. We too can have a relationship with Jesus the Christ. And so we see the focus of today's scripture is Jesus and not Thomas. Jesus' words were not spoken to shame Thomas, but rather to build his faith. Now we see that Jesus met Mary there in front of the tomb, met the disciples in that upper room, and then again in that upper room met Thomas, right where each of them were. Thomas was the only one who came close to seeking out the resurrected Christ, as you and I can do today. According to the scriptures, Jesus came to them, each of them where they were, and Jesus can come again and again until he And Jesus came again and again until he saw each of them. Don't you think Jesus has and will continue to present himself to us? I believe we are all here this morning because we believe, or we desperately want to believe, the man Jesus is the resurrected Christ. We have heard the Easter story, the resurrection story, and we have come back for more of the celebration. We want to be the Easter people that the choir led us in singing about as we raised our voices. We want to claim this story of hope and promise to all generations so that we too will experience the grace of God in Jesus and have no fear of our earthly death. One of my goals in Christian education has been to help children and youth ask questions and not be afraid of the doubts. I don't want them to just rubber stamp their baptism or the faith of their parents, but I want to walk beside them and unlock doors to back rooms and hear their questions as we seek to be Easter people together. My hope is that if there is any doubt, it will be a companion on their journey and not a stumbling block to continue the journey. We pray that with Thomas, our young folks will wholeheartedly claim Jesus as their Lord and their God. And my prayer is that the church will recognize that this profession can come from doubts, and even with doubts, but that doesn't make it any less real. As James Fowler says in his writing on the stages of faith, doubt often comes as a catalyst to deeper faith. Just as he called Mary's name, we know we have the strength of a caring shepherd who calls us by name, just as he called Mary's name in the garden. If we can listen and have the fine tuning of that pachyderm, we can tune out the other voices which are clamoring for our attention. We may hear our God calling us by name. Then we will know that not even the shepherd's death can eliminate his love and caring for us. Where would the church be today without the voices, the courage, the profound sharing of all those who have not seen and yet believe? So thanks be to God that we are blessed, and let us rejoice. Although we have not seen him, we love him, or are on the journey to find out more about that possible relationship, that it is a true saying, and that yet there is a sense in which we have seen him. I read the story of a third world bishop who told that in his country, during the passing of the peace, what is shared or said to one another is not "the peace of Christ be with you," but rather, "I love the face of Christ I see." Hear those gentle and affirming words again. "I love the face of Christ I see." They remind me of my camp counseling days, sitting on a ridge overlooking the Shenandoah River and singing, "I love you in the love of the Lord. Oh, yes, I love you in the love of the Lord. I can see in you the glory of my King, and I love you in the love of the Lord." Brothers and sisters, Easter people that we claim to be, in order to see Christ, we do not have to look any further than the face of the one sitting next to us. Our spouse, our friend, our child, the face of our neighbor, or even the face of a stranger. Let us love the face of Christ we see this day and every day, and let us leave this sanctuary today loving the Christ we cannot see. Amen and amen. If you will, pick up your little black book, The Faith We Sing. And our next hymn is We Walk by Faith, 2196. Let us join together. You may be seated. Let us go to God in prayer. Gracious God, we believe. We believe we are not always sure what we believe or how to express what we believe, but we believe. O Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We feel that the Lord Jesus Christ is real and the Holy Spirit is present in our world and in our lives. However, sometimes we feel despair and are incapable of trust and skeptical of hope, but we have gone on not in our strength, but in your strength. We believe, O God, help our unbelief. Lord, in your mercy, our prayers. We see and know times of regret, times of pain and suffering, and we ask you to be present. We ask for the eyes to see your presence and the perseverance to go on. We ask for your blessings to be with Nikki Hawkins, Tracy Stanfield, Judy Cox, Joe Eblin, the women of Room at the Inn, and those who will be out on the streets, out in the woods, in the fringes, as the weather gets warmer. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We are sorry for deeds that cannot be undone and for words that cannot be taken back. We have confessed our wrongdoings and feel a sense of healing and hope. Lead us to guide others to you and this healing and hope. Lord, in your mercy. We believe, O God, that you have a place for us, that we are a part of your plan. We believe, but too often our belief is small. Give us the courage to believe big, to love big, and to hope big for ourselves and others. Lord, in your mercy, prayers. And remind us that we come back to be your Easter people, to continue to proclaim your good news to those who don't always find their way here. May we take that task on and live to the fullest in being your ministry in the world. Lord, in your mercy. And as we come together now, may you hear the words that your Son, our Savior, taught us as we pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we continue to worship our risen Lord, I invite the ushers to come forward for our offering. Our closing hymn is number 310, He Lives. Let us joyously raise our voices together.